It's nice to be here in front of my congregation, even on a holiday weekend, even when we have no paid pastor in the house. We are still the Church of Jesus Christ. And I hope not to make you too uncomfortable today, but if I do, just remember this is my opinion. I want to read to you from the Gospel of Luke, and I'm going to read Luke 14:1 and then verses 7 through 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath day, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come to you and say, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you will start to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Join me in a word of prayer. God of life, touch our eyes, open our ears, enter our hearts. Amen. I have a little Bible quiz for you today, and I'm trying something new. See the screens? I'm trying to use our technology as part of this sermon. Okay, here's the Bible quiz. Complete this sentence. The poor will always be with you. So, A, protect yourself from them as best you can. You don't have to worry too much about them. Or C, be generous to them as they are your brothers and sisters. Okay, what, C? C. Think so? Well, you're right. If you picked A or B, you're describing the way some in our society think today. But the scriptural answer is C. This passage comes from Deuteronomy 15, and it says, "There will always be poor in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in the land." While I worked on this sermon, I saw the volunteers in our food pantry. Can you see them? It's a little bit bright in here today. I count as volunteers not just those people that you see there on Fridays, or the people who come on Thursday, as Jim Tomedy has for so many years, to unload the truck. I count those of you who gave spare change this morning to the Pennies from Heaven offering, who donate at Christmas through buying the greeting cards or coming to the concerts. And I count the person who makes those greeting cards. I count those of you who donate money recently when the social justice team had movies and a dinner. I count that social justice team who cooked and brought the food and who stayed to clean up the kitchen when we were done. So I thought of you, the members of Church of the Open Arms. You're doing exactly what this scripture says. You are giving a banquet and inviting the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you are blessed, blessed in the doing. You are open-handed towards fellow Americans and those others who live here with us who are poor and needy. We are acting out our faith as our Hebrew ancestors and the words of our teacher, Jesus. We don't exactly give a banquet. We don't even prepare a meal. But we allow our clients to serve banquets at home. We have what's called a client choice pantry. What does that mean? Well, it means that even though the selection may be small, our clients can use a shopping cart and pick what they want. There's less waste. There's more dignity. Connor Wilkinson told me recently that when we first opened our pantry and started having client choice, that she was working at Skyline Ministries, and they changed their policy based on what we did here to give more dignity to their clients. And now the food bank does not approve a food pantry without a client choice. So by just doing things the way we thought we should, we've changed the way things are done in this city. So why is client choice important? Because if you just needing to come to a food pantry can be a challenge, and it can be humiliating. We have a volunteer who walks with the client, who talks to them about their lives and tells them of their choices. Just a few moments meeting another person on the journey of life and providing companionship. There's the blessing. The blessing to those of us who walk, who stack those shelves. We are inviting the poor of our city to a banquet, knowing that our blessing is in the doing, not expecting repayment, but showing the love of Christ to our neighbors. And yet, our system is broken in America. We learned a lot about that in the movie, A Place at the Table, that the social justice team showed us last week. The food that churches and other nonprofits provide to hungry people in Oklahoma or in America is only about 6% of what is provided by the federal government through their nutrition programs. And still, people are hungry. All the churches and nonprofits together can't feed the hungry of America, let alone the world. As long as people remain in poverty, there will be hunger. In the time when the Hebrew scriptures were written, the system told the landowners to provide for the poor by leaving the corners in the fields and the last picking of the fruit. Do you all remember Ruth? Her story is an entire chapter in our Hebrew Bible. She was a widow and a foreigner. She went to the fields to gather food for herself and her mother-in-law, Naomi. She found food and a husband, but that's another story, and Lisa Wolf tells it wonderfully. Our American system in this urbanized world can't rely on landowners to leave enough food for the poor. Can we as a church or as individuals do more than our pantry to help the hungry? Can our system be changed so that poverty and hunger are not part of America? My answer is yes. Yes, I know it's a big, big task. It can only be done one small part at a time. But if we don't change, only more and more people will be hungry. Did you know that many of the hungry people in America are not unemployed or homeless, but are workers? Since this is Labor Day, I wanted to teach you a little bit about low-paid workers in America. Over one in every four jobs pays poverty wages, so low that even a full-time worker cannot support a family above poverty, and they may need a food pantry. Over 8 in 10 low-wage workers do not have a single paid sick day. If they get sick and can't work, or if they need to stay home with a sick child, they are not paid. And if they're gone too long, they may lose their jobs. Every week, this one really surprised me, every week over half of all low-wage workers are cheated by unscrupulous employers out of some of their wages. And over a quarter of low-wage workers do not have health insurance, either from their jobs or a family member. And even when they're insured, they say that it's two-thirds of them say that it's very difficult to pay for health insurance, their health care that they need. Our state is one of the states that has not yet agreed to expand and take additional federal funds to help low-paid workers receive insurance. If we were, then there would be workers who would have insurance. In Oklahoma, 6,700 cooks, 6,100 cashiers, 4,500 waiters and waitresses, and 4,200 housekeepers could be affected and could have some health insurance. So what can we do? Here's a list of what we can do. Problems seemed large, so here's what we might try. First, of course, we can pray. We can pray for our elected leaders and for our food pantry volunteers. We can pray that we find a way to end hunger in America. We can pray that health care is easily accessible and affordable to all. We can give our money and our time, just like the ways I've already mentioned. Or you might come up with a new way. The greeting cards that we have at Christmas time are an invention of Mindy Helwig. She came up with the idea. She creates the cards. And for $5, for $5 donation to the food pantry, you can have a card to give to someone and say that you've donated in their name. And third, you and I, we can take action. I know that many of you out there don't want there to be politics in church. Well, I'm here to tell you that being political is part of who I am as a Christian. I don't think that party politics should be here. But for me, being political or engaging in civic action and civic life around me is part of what it means for me to be a Christian. Taking action by telling election officials my opinion and why how I think our system should be changed, even if I know they will never agree with me, is part of what I see as my Christian responsibility. I live my theology and my relationship through my actions. My relationship with Jesus the Christ is the basis of and demands that I take action. Just as not expecting a seat at the head of the table is part of acting in a Christ-like manner, for me, so is working to change the injustice that is part of the economic realities of America today. I believe that we should do what we can to make sure that all have a place at the table. My theology demands that I take action. Yours may not. And that is just as it should be in this diverse community we call Church of the Open Arms. I believe Jesus tells us to feed the poor and heal the sick. How can I do this? How can you do it? First, you can find a small place to make a difference. Volunteer at our food pantry. Contribute to the Pennies from Heaven offering. Be a foster parent. Make a cash contribution if you don't have the time to our pantry. Or be really radical. Call or email your member of Congress and tell them that you want the supplemental food program, which used to be called food stamps, it's called SNAP, to be fully funded. Or that you want the amount of money reimbursed to schools for school lunches to be expanded. Or sign the Voice petition. The Voice petition to expand the Medicaid program so that all poor people have Medicaid and so that we can fund Insure Oklahoma. I challenge you this week to try something outside your comfort zone. Pray for the low-paid workers. Try an email to an elected official and see if political action is part of your personal relationship with our teacher, our friend, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.